So I wanted to today begin going into the text of the text of the Shemoneh Esrei. We had said that we were going to now start going in one bracha at a time, trying to get a better appreciation of the Shemoneh Esrei. And we had given in our introduction, we mentioned from the Kuzari how significant every single Shemoneh Esrei is. That like this is what everything in my life had been leading to was to this moment right now. Hey, how are you? Hi. Hi, Rachel. Good to see you. Good to see you. We're just starting right now. We're just starting right now. Yeah. Good to see you. Good to see you. So we're going to really now just starting to understand the words of the Shemoneh Esrei, as we mentioned from the Kuzari, just how significant every single time we get up to pray is that this is the moment in our life that we've been waiting for. Everything has been leading to this point right now when we're getting ready to pray this Shemoneh Esrei. And we mentioned that there's really two things we have to have in mind when we pray. Number one is we need to believe that we're standing lifnei hamelech, we're standing in front of the king, to the point that we don't, if somebody is davening the Amidah, they're davening the Shemoneh Esrei, we don't walk in front of them when they're in the middle of praying, because that would be a it would be a break. It would cause a disruption between them and Hashem, because they're really standing in front of the king. And number two is that one needs to understand the words that they're saying, because as we mentioned last time, the words of the Shemoneh Esrei were written by the greatest of our sages. Among them were even prophets who understood and with divine knowledge. The best way to connect with Hashem, with the infinite. And therefore, it's not enough just to believe that we're standing in front of Hashem, but we also need to understand the words that we're saying. And we have to try and find that balance. We're not supposed to be robotic in our Shemoneh Esrei. We're supposed to be sincere and vulnerable and personal in our conversation with God. At the same time, though, we also are supposed to be following the script that was created by the rabbis in order to connect with Hashem most directly. In the sitter should be on. I meant to grab some sinner. Let me grab. I'm just gonna grab a couple of sidurim. Give me one sec. We're on page 99. I should get one for myself.
You can get two.
Okay, perfect.
So this is the Shemoneh Esrei. Another name is the Amidah. And that's the English, and this is the Hebrew.
Here we are.
Thank you. Who's on, by the way?
Flora and Ari and Marlene. Yeah. So the first paragraph of the Amidah is the way we begin our Shemoneh Esrei with giving the with really setting the tone, where the first thing we want to do is give a proper praise of God. And it's important also to recognize the structure of the Amidah, where the Amidah is 19 blessings. It started as 18, and then a 19th one was added later. There are 19 blessings. The first three blessings are giving praise of Hashem. The last three blessings is to give thanks to God. And the middle blessings is to is all of our requests, where we ask God to give us wisdom, and we ask God to accept our teshuva. We ask God to forgive us. We ask God to bring Mashiach. We ask God for refuah, for healing, all the for sustenance, all the things we ask God. That's the middle part, the main part of the Shron Esrei. But we begin with praise of God, then we go into our requests, and then we conclude with Hodaya, with the thanks that we have to have for Hashem. It's pointed out by in the Talmud that the reason that we have this structure is because it's a form of derech eretz. It's a form of having proper respect for Hashem, that if we just right away get into our requests, so then that's completely disrespectful. It's completely negating the fact that we're speaking to the King of Kings. We're speaking to the creator of the universe. Then we're right away just going to jump into, give me what I want. That's not the, it's not proper proper respect. So we begin the Shmona Esrei with giving praise praise of Hashem. The second thing is that in this particular paragraph of Shmona Esrei, we're really trying to highlight different aspects of God in such a way that make it clear to us just how much we need God. Number one, we bring up the fact that He's Elohei Avraham. He's the God that Avraham related to, that Avraham learned from. How did Avraham learn from God? We mentioned last time, from His chesed, from God's kindness that is just, that knows no bounds, and that Avraham applied to himself also. We're bringing that up as if to say that Hashem, we know that you epitomize kindness. You are ultimate kindness. And therefore, when we're going to be shifting to our request soon, it's coming from the vantage point of, we know that everything you give us is what is right for us, what's good for us through the prism of kindness. Number two is we say Elohei Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the one that represents Gevura, that represents strength, that God is the Baal Kochos. He's all the strength. He's the one that provides any strength for everything. And therefore we recognize that that if we're gonna have anything, it's only gonna come from one source. And that's why we bring up Yitzchak. And that's why we also bring up Yaakov. Yaakov represents truth, represents MS. And that he learned from Hashem, that Hashem is truth. There is nothing about God that isn't true. The source of all truth, the source of all MS comes from Hashem. And therefore, we recognize that whatever decision Hashem makes for what we get is coming from a place of justice. It's coming from a place of truth. And so the entire paragraph, this initial paragraph of Shmona Esrei, really sets the tone for the entire Amidah, for the entire prayer, because it's setting the tone of who it is that we're speaking to. Of we say Dalifnei Mi'ata Omed. We have to recognize who we're standing in front of. When we go through this first paragraph of Shmona Esrei, we're setting the tone of who it is that we're standing in front of when we're going to be praying. So that's number one. We begin the first paragraph of Shmona Esrei with the phrase Baruch Ata Hashem. Blessed are you, Hashem. Blessed are you, Hashem. Blessed are you, Hashem. It's important that we note, and this is pointed out by pretty much all of the commentaries on the Siddur, is that we're not giving a blessing to God. Not that we're saying, God, you should be blessed. That you that wouldn't make any sense, because God is the source of all blessings. So who are we to bless God? Rather, what it means is really two things that we're supposed to have in mind when we say Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you, Hashem. Number one is that we truly believe that everything comes from Hashem, meaning Baruch, blessing is Ata Hashem, comes directly from you. All blessing in the world comes from God. And that's the first thing we recognize. We're not giving a blessing to God. We're saying you're the source of all blessing. Baruch Ata Hashem, you are the source of all blessing. And number two is, when we say this, what we're asking for, why we're bringing it up, is that as we're starting this conversation with you, God, what we hope to accomplish from it is that we desire from Hashem to bestow that blessing upon us. That all that He's the source of all blessing, and therefore Baruch Ata Hashem, you, God, the source of all blessing, hopefully you'll give that blessing to us. That is what, so when we say Baruch Atah Hashem, these are the two things we try and have in mind. Yeah, absolutely.
If you don't have that feeling of the faith, how do you...
So two answers. One is that one needs to constantly be working on faith. That's something that's it's not something that's necessarily natural. It's something that needs to constantly be worked on, and a person needs to constantly try and find ways of building that faith. And number two is that the more one goes about this exercise of talking with God, then the more that faith naturally gets built. If a person is just going to assume that either you have faith or you don't have faith, and that's just the way it is, so then it's not going to happen. But if a person is really interested in trying to build that relationship with God, so the Rambam writes, Maimonides writes, you look at nature. By looking at the magic, looking at the miracles in nature, you become to appreciate God. Other of the commentators write that when we study Torah, we study the wisdom of God. So that brings us closer to God. But Reb Chaim Volozhiner was one of the great teachers of the 19th century. He writes, he says that through prayer, that when we pray, the more that we pray, the more we have those conversations with God, so the more the faith becomes naturally built inside of a person. So the more a person goes through this exercise, so then more naturally it happens that you're able to believe these things. Number one, of truly believing that God is the source of all blessing. And number two, hoping that that blessing gets bestowed upon us. So right away, when we start our Shemona Esrei, number one is, we have in mind when we say Baruch Atah Hashem, that number one, God's the source of all blessing. And number two is that we hope that that blessing gets bestowed upon us. Moving on. One more note also, that it's interesting. We refer to God as both Atah, you, like we're talking to him like a friend, mm-hmm. right? We have this like, we're saying Baruch Atah, blessed are you, you, right? I like my grandmother used to say when I'd say something to my mom or my dad, and say you know, about my grandmother, and I'd say she said that I need to clean the dishes. So she'd then respond. She'd pipe up and say, "She has a name, right? Don't just call me. She has a name." So here also we're saying Atah, you. Right? Referring to God, you. It's very odd. And then one word later, we say Adonai.
Yeah.
Right? God is the this four-letter name of God of Yud, then Hey, followed by Vav and Hey, represents the fact that God is above time, that he's all-powerful, that he is constant, he is living both in past, present, and future. I mean, so it's like these polar opposites, these polar extremes. Of on the one hand, we're referring to God in this close, very, very personal way of Atah, you. And then on the other hand, in this extremely formal fashion, trying to refer to God by a name that describes his true essence. All at the same time, all one word after another. So Rav Eliashiv Zatzal, Rav Eliashiv passed away in the summer of 2012. He was an incredible person, an incredible Talmud Chacham, really a world-class model of what it means to become a true God-fearing Jew and a Talmud Chacham. Rav Eliashiv pointed out that we say both Atah and Hashem's name, one after another, because when we are starting our Shemona Esrei, we need to get into the mindset of, number one, we're standing in front of the King of all kings, but the King of all kings is also our Avinu Sheva Shemayim. It's also our Father in heaven, meaning that we have this close personal relationship with God to the point that we can even just say, Atah, you, but at the same time, he is something that is almost out of reach. And it's something that that we constantly live with that dichotomy where we have to have this vulnerable relationship with God, but at the same time knowing that he's all powerful. And so that's why we right away begin our Shemona Esrei using these two words of Baruch, you're the source of all blessing. I hope that blessing comes to me, Ata Hashem. And I have this relationship, these two aspects of this relationship with you, one that's extremely personal, but also one where you are standing in the high, in the highest form possible, and I'm just this mortal here on earth. So that right away, in just the first three words of Shemona Esrei, you see how much depth there is in every single word. Just in the first three words, how much is contained in the Amidah. Let's continue. Baruch Ata Hashem, you're the source of all blessing. We hope that blessing comes upon us. Ata Hashem, and that I have this very close relationship with you, but also you are Hashem, living in the highest form possible. Eloheinu v'Elohe Avoteinu. You are our God and the God of our forefathers, the God of our forefathers. It says in Shulchan Aruch that when one says God's name of Elokeinu, when someone says God's name of Elokeinu, that you're supposed to have in mind that he's the Baal HaKochos Kulam. That means is that God is the has the most strength. He contains all strength that there is in the world. All strength that happens in the world that exists in the world, the source of that strength is God. That's what one needs to have in mind when they say Elokeinu. I'll read the words of the Shulchan Aruch inside. He writes the following. He says,
how do you feel when you ask God, whatever, how do you feel you are getting that message?
Mm.
You know, yeah. I never did that before. I didn't. So for me, now the way you are talking, and if I do the same what you do, when do you feel God is listening?
Yeah, so that's like getting back to what we were saying before, is that it takes time. The more that a person engages in the exercise of prayer in a sincere and real way, then the more likely it is that they'll actually be able to feel that presence of Hashem in their lives. It's not something that's going to happen, necessarily the first time or every time. Sometimes you'll feel it more closely, and sometimes you won't feel it as closely. But the more that a person engages, and the more a person gives time to preparing themselves for prayer. Like the Rambam writes that before a person prays, you need to just take a few moments just to stop and do just a little bit of introspection. Just stop and think for a moment of what it is I'm about to do. And then you walk into into prayer. But if a person thinks that I'm just going to read through what it says in the Siddur, and then it's going, then, you know, I should expect to feel that closeness with God. I should expect to feel all the blessings coming from God. It's not magic. A person needs to really get themselves into the mindset of knowing what they're about to do. And then you'll be able to really feel that close connection with God. Yeah. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, he says that when every blessing we say, we have to have in mind, understand what we're saying. He writes, Yichavin bebrachos perish hamilos. I need to have in mind an understanding of what the words mean when I say the words. Kishiyaskir Hashem, when I say God's name, Yichavin perish kriyaso, I need to understand what that word means. Ba'adnos, understanding that God is the Adon Hakol, he's the master of everything. V'echavein b'ksivaso b'yud hey shahaya v'hove v'yiyah. When I get to the letters of yud and hey, I have to understand that he is existing in the past, present, and future. Vaskiro Elokim, and when I get to our language that we're up to right now, Elokeinu Elokim, Yichavin Shehu Takif Bal HaYecholos Ubal HaKochos Kulam, that he is has mastery over all strength, all power that exists in the world. So what exactly does that mean? What exactly does that mean? So Reb Chaim Freelander, Zatzal, the Mashkiach of Panovich, he explains as follows. He says that what that means is the following. It means that koach prati hanimsa b'chol ha'olamos, that the specific strength that exists in every part of the world, hakol, all of those strengths, the ability to pick up a cup of coffee, the ability to run a company, the ability to write a book, the ability to have conversations with people, all capabilities that exist, hakol hu yisbarach shemo habal koach shelahem. God is giving the ability for all those things to happen. God's given the ability for all those things to happen. Shemashpia behem hakoach vagvura kol rega. That God is giving the capability and the capacity for all of those things to happen. It's almost, he explains further, he says it's similar to like a water faucet. A water faucet. When somebody turns on the water faucet, it's not that they created the water, and it's not like you are the source of the water. When you turn on a water faucet, all you're doing is just allowing the water that already exists in a much, 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 much larger container to end up in your kitchen sink. That's all you're doing. You're just turning on the faucet. So when I lift the cup of coffee, it's similar to turning on a faucet. It's that I turned on the faucet that allows the energy that already exists from God into me being able to do X, Y, or Z. So when we say Hashem's name of Elokeinu, right now in this Shemona Esrei, we're up to the fourth word of Shemona Esrei. When we say God's name of Elokeinu, what we're saying is, God, you allow everything that happens in this world to happen. You allow everything that happens in this world to happen. So number one, Baruch, you are the source of all blessing. I truly believe that, and I hope that blessing comes upon us. Ata Hashem, it's you, God, meaning this close relationship I have with you, that's also Hashem, that's also the God that's above time, and Elokeinu, and that you are the source of all energy in this world, that everything that happens in the world, you are the cause of it. So again, what the purpose of, and I repeat myself because it's important to recognize, the purpose of this blessing is setting the tone for Shemona Esrei. God doesn't need our praise. He doesn't need our praise. Why does God need our praise? It's for us to get ourselves into the mindset before we start asking for things. I need to understand who I'm speaking to. And this is setting the tone for that. The first blessing, Shemona Esrei, is setting the tone for who it is that I'm having this this conversation with. I wanted to just get to being that we'll pick up with the rest of Shemona Esrei, the rest of this blessing, God willing, next week. What I wanted to just get to now is that when we say these first three words of Shemona Esrei, we bow. When we say these first three words of Shemona Esrei, we bow. We only bow during our Amidah four times. At the beginning of the first blessing, at the end of the first blessing, then at the beginning of when we have the blessing about thanks of Modim, and at the end of that blessing. So the structure of Shemona Esrei again is praise, then our requests, and then thanks. When we start the praise, we have a bless. We bow at the beginning of the blessing and at the end of that blessing. And when we give our thanks, we bow at the beginning of that blessing and again at the end of that blessing. When one bows, it's not supposed to be something that is like just that I like just dip my head a little bit. And it's also not that I'm supposed to prostrate myself on the floor. It's that I bow at like a between 45 and 90 degree angle, where I lower my back to the point that my spine is bent. That when my spine is bent, so then I've bowed properly. But then there's an interesting halacha, very, very interesting, that it says in Shulchan Aruch that I bow down when I get to Ata, so Baruch, I bend my knees, then Ata, I bow forward before Hashem. But then when I say Hashem's name, it says in Shulchan Aruch, I'm supposed to get up very quickly. So like this, it would be Baruch Ata. And when I say Hashem's name, I'm supposed to say Adonai. And I get up very quickly. As opposed to a lot of people you'll find, they'll go like this, Baruch Ata, and then they'll go Adonai. Slow like that. But it's supposed to be quickly to pick oneself up. Why? Why is it that I need to pick myself up quickly? So here, again, every single detail matters. The reason for this particular detail, why do I is that I need to pick myself up quickly? Because we're mentioning God's name here, mentioning God's name. We know God, part of what he does on a daily basis is he allows those that are bent to stand upright. Every single morning we get out of bed, I'm standing up straight. I can lift myself up. I can straighten my back. Part of the capabilities of God is the fact that I can actually get up quickly. So if I get up slowly, it may show that I'm minimizing the strength of God. It's not displaying to me the strength of God and how God is able to do this. So when I say God's name, again, it's for me to recognize. When I say God's name, Hashem, I can right away pick myself up. Because I know that the only way I'm even able to do that is due to God's blessings. So every single detail of our rabbis, the wisdom that they had of being able to put the system together is just unbelievable. And obviously, it must have been through divine intervention. Every single detail shows another aspect of us trying to connect with Hashem. I wanted to just close with one more line in the Shulchan Aruch that I found to be very powerful. It says in Shulchan Aruch, which again is the our code of Jewish law, written by Rabbi Yosef Karo, lived from 1488 to 1575. When he was a youngster, he was 4 years old. It was when his family was kicked out of Spain. He was born in Spain. His family was kicked out of Spain, part of the Inquisition in 1492. His family traveled through the Ottoman Empire, Turkey, eventually ended up in Israel. He settled in Tzfat, and there in Tzfat, he really became world famous of being the source of all halacha, the greatest authority on Jewish law. And he wrote two major works. He wrote really three major works. He wrote the Beis Yosef, which is an encyclopedic work explaining every single practice that we have, that we do practically today. He also wrote an index to that, the Shulchan Aruch, which is the quick guidebook of Jewish law. So he has in his Shulchan Aruch, again, another aspect of trying to use the system to our advantage, using the system of the Shemona Esrei to our advantage of being able to have this close connection with God. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, and this is quoting from Gemara in Masechta Megillah, that it says, "Ein lahosif al Torah shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu," that one is not supposed to add on more descriptions of God than that which is contained in the Shemona Esrei. Yoser meha ha'el, ha'gadol, ha'gibor, va'anorah. We're going to get to soon in the next week or so what those descriptions mean when we get to them in the Shemona Esrei. But we shouldn't add on more adjectives, more adulations, should not go beyond what is written in the script. Why? And when we're giving our praise of God, why? Dafka b'pnila b'tfila mipnei she'ein l'shanos mimatbea she'tavu chachamim. We don't want to deviate from the script that the rabbis put out for us when it comes to tefila, because they were trying to create in what they put together a perfect manuscript of how to connect with God. However, aval b'tachnunim, Obibakashos. However, when we are having our own personal time with Hashem, of our own personal requests, our own personal vulnerable moments with God, so then all the rules are broken. Say whatever you want. Say it in your own words. Don't follow the script. The script is intended to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah, of prayer, and to get the most out of it. But when you're having your own personal time with Hashem, no script to follow. You just speak your own words. You talk to Him, and you build that close relationship. And that, I think, this halacha in Shulchan Aruch is so critical for us to remember. It's that we need to be able to do both. Where on the one hand, we are trying to utilize the script created by our rabbis to have that close connection with Him, to get the most out of the significant moment of prayer, but then to make sure as well that there's a personal element to it in the right time, towards the end of our Amidah, towards the end of the Shemoneh Esrei. At the end, we're able to also add in our personal praise, our personal thanks, our personal requests, in using our own language to have that personal, vulnerable connection with God. Okay, good. We'll stop it. We only got four words into Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, hopefully next week we'll be able to do more. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye. Thank you.
Take care. Bye. Bye. Okay.
Bye. Thank you.
Oh, hi.
Hello. Who's there?
Oh,
hi.
Marlene. Marlene is there.
Hi.
Your picture.
Yeah.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
Good to see you. This is my mom, Rachel.
Yeah.
Hi. That's
Marlene, a dear friend of ours. Oh. We've known
for nice to meet you. Wow, isn't that special? Oh, mazel tov on your great-grandkids.
Thank you. It's right there.
I know, yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you
everything
can't
everything is blurred.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, very how are you doing?
I'm
I haven't seen you for a long time.
I'm good. Thank you for asking. Thank you for asking.
And your grandkids?
You know, it's just
all wonderful. Good. No complaints today.
No.
So special. Your mom is here.
Yeah, my mom. She lives in San Diego.
Oh, you do?
She does.
Well, that is special.
Fashion Valley.
Yeah.
She lives in Fashion Valley.
Very nice.
Yeah. So if you ever come to class, we're going to try to come every Wednesday.
We try. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Well, it was a pleasure to meet you. I wish you a very good week and a good Shabbos when it comes. Great to see you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for introducing me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm glad. I was glad that the rabbi turned it around so I could see.
Thank you so much.
Take
bye.
Care.
All the best to you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This makes you look good. Me. I mean, you always look good.